Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
A lot to get to and just 3 hours to do it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on overtime. We got Michael Bohm running the board tonight, and you heard him on the 2020s as well as Ken Carmen. But it's Michael Markoch doing work behind the glass as well. I do have to say, I received instant karma. Within 1 day for starting the show yesterday by telling you guys my near Karen moment of experiencing road rage in front of me firsthand and almost going full Karen on it. And also by saying, you know, I feel like I really don't get traffic stories. I feel like that never happens to me. Well, I just got complete karma today. Decided to make a 20-minute drive, right? I'm dog-sitting for my girlfriend's parents. They're going on a cruise, so I'm out there dog-sitting, and I have to go from Mayfield back to Mentor to pick up some stuff that I had left at home that I wanted to pick up that I had for the next week and a half. It is a 20 to 25-minute drive any given day that I make it. Today, it was 2 hours. It was 2 hours to go 20 minutes, and specifically was about an hour and 40 minutes to go 10 minutes of a stretch of the freeway in which I could not get off the freeway. There are no exits. There's no way to go around. Yet 90 was shut down for a good stretch due to an accident. And it was instant karma on my part. I was sitting there and I was like, I got angry initially. I was like, you know what? I deserve this. This is what I get for saying I don't get traffic stories. So we just had to eat that one on the chin today. Threw off our entire day, but we still made it here. We still have a good show for you guys planned today, and we're excited to do it. I do have to say, hey, my takeaway from Browns training camp, the joint practices today of everything that I've seen, somebody for the love of God put Joe Flacco in bubble wrap. I mean, legitimately put him in bubble wrap. I don't mean metaphorically, okay? Nick and I went back and forth on Twitter. I don't mean put him in bubble wrap figuratively, because they've been doing that. They throw him out there only at the ones. They've been giving him less reps. He doesn't go out in the preseason games. I mean, legitimately, next time I see him at the podium talking to the media, I want to see this dude wrapped in bubble wrap. You should be able to go up to him, poke him, and you get one solid pop out of a layer of bubble wrap. I can't have anything happen to him. We have had no contact on quarterbacks, 3 injuries, all within the torso or lower, right? Like lower torso or lower at this point. Shador's oblique injury today, the double hamstrings between Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. It's been absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's honestly shocking that you could suffer this many injuries in non-contact to 3 quarterbacks. Most teams would be, I mean, downright screwed at this point. The Browns, not necessarily, because you probably figure that Joe's starting the year, but you're not that far off when it comes to who's playing behind him. Like, Tyler Huntley is the next healthy quarterback, basically, at this point, although Dylan Gabriel was healthy today and taking 11 on 11 reps, so it's good. And we'll definitely shake up our Daily Browns quarterback rankings coming to you at the end of this hour. But, yeah, I need that guy protected. And obviously, the big news, aside from how the actual practice looked, but more of what people are focusing on today, Shador Sanders' oblique injury that we just mentioned. He was not getting reps in 7-on-7s and 11-on-11s. Social media was going absolutely insane over it. And of course, he's not out there. So obviously, like, the initial reaction to the reports that Shador's hurt, I think we all go through the, man, this sucks. But then also Brown's brain kicks in, right? Of what does this actually mean for the quarterback competition? And what does it mean for Shador himself in the scope of the Cleveland Browns? Which I can't tell you it's going to be good. Like, we sat up here and talked about, you know, Kenny Pickett still probably doesn't have a chance to win the starting job at this rate. Very well might not have a chance to make the roster at this rate because he's missed so much time. He's had four training camp practices under his belt and has missed every moment since then. And Dylan Gabriel, we were talking about, like, oh, maybe Shador on Friday went through, did enough to take the job. That's very realistic. I think that if I turn around and tell you anything different about Shador, like, hypocrisy would be out in full form. Like, this is as big gets. And if Shador, which I don't expect him to be able to, but can't go on Saturday, he is more than behind the eight ball. I think even if Dylan looks, you know, doesn't look great out there against the Eagles in what I'm expecting is going to be a long run like Shador got against the Panthers, but even if Dylan doesn't look great out there, it's coming to the point where you're just running out of time. You're running out of time to make the climb, which he clearly, after one preseason game, did not make in their eyes. Right? He still came in. We saw the unofficial depth chart. He was still fourth on that. We saw how the reps are being divvied up to begin the week on Monday. He was still behind Dylan Gabriel on that. So the same way that I don't see the Browns go through and overreact to how Shador played on Friday by moving him up the depth chart, I don't expect them to react in any, you know, significant way to however Dylan Gabriel plays on Saturday, both good and bad. I don't think you're going to get a chance to see him start week one. I also don't think you're going to see him if, you know, Shador had one good preseason game and Dylan had one bad one, that while he's not healthy, you're going to see Dylan Gabriel go out there and fall behind at this rate. It feels like they made it very clear that what they're doing is Dylan Gabriel feels more prepared. But it's just no joke. It's what we're going to throw out to you guys at 216-474-0092. Does Shador's injury end his chance at being QB2 for the season? At least to start the season, I should say. Because I think that it completely throws a wrench in it. Like, I don't see him being able to make that climb by one preseason game of against LA where we're probably going to see the pseudo dress rehearsal for the first team offense where Joe probably goes out there and takes a drive or two and actually plays in the game. I don't think that you're going to get a ton of Shador or a ton of Dylan. You're probably going to get a mix of these quarterbacks. If Kenny's still here and is healthy by that game, I imagine you'll see Kenny in that game as well. So at most you're getting, I don't know, a quarter and a couple of drives out of those two. Right, out of the two rookies, they're probably getting roughly a quarter apiece. So I don't think he's going to be able to display that by playing, you know, four full quarters of football in the preseason that, hey, I'm better than Dylan Gabriel right now and you should view me as higher, even though throughout training camp you have not done so. And if you don't believe me on it, Ross Tucker on today with Nick and JP, and Ross gave his very clear explanation of how big of a deal he thinks Shador missing Saturday would be.
I'm in the ratings business, bro, okay? I want Shador to play every snap of the game. You know, I want Shador to play every snap of every game. You know, no matter how they perform, my guess is Flacco will still be starting. You know, if there was any chance for Shador, you would think that he would have needed to play a ton in this next preseason game again and play really well again. Because that's one of those things where, like, if they played him for 50 snaps again against the Eagles and he lit up the Eagles, at some point, you know, the buzz becomes so much that the team, you know, needs to really consider their options.
And I think that is what makes this so dramatic, is the fact of, okay, well, I think when we talk about, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, if Dylan laid a stinker in game two of the preseason and Shador once again went out there and looked good, well, yes, believing the fact that I do think Kevin Stefanski does everything in his power to make young quarterbacks look good when they go into the preseason. So if you go through and do everything in your power to make Dylan Gabriel look good and he still doesn't come out looking like it and Shador once again excites and performs, then we have a legitimate conversation for, well, you're setting both guys up to succeed and only one of them is answering the question. Only one of them actually stepped up to the plate to answer the call and be the guy that you can trust when the lights turn on. But without Shador out there, it's like, okay, so am I supposed to do that in game three of the preseason leading up to week one? Now I'm expecting the Browns to make adjustments. And quite frankly, no. Is it wrong of them not to make those adjustments? I mean, if the eye test is telling us what the eye test is telling us, then maybe. But I don't think they're a team that's going to react like that and react any differently to how they feel on the quarterback room after the last preseason game before a Saturday and then a week removed going into week one. I don't see them being dramatic. I don't see them just sitting on their edge of their seat ready to make decisions. Like, maybe somehow, some way, Shador fights for the number two job over Dylan Gabriel throughout the course of 6 weeks. Like, that's entirely possible. You're still getting out there. You're still practicing throughout the week. If Shador's able to display that I truly am the better quarterback, I've improved on the things you want me to improve on, I do think that's possible. Like, you give a guy an extra a month and a half to go improve it, then sure, it can definitely live up to that. Right now, I just don't see preseason games being the massive indicator. The Browns have already gone through and told you they view the joint practices that they're in right now in a higher regard than they truly view the preseason game. And I think they've used everything in their power to display that even in game one. It's like, all right, well, none of the starters go out there. Like, I have Gage Larvidane, and I have Sal Canello running routes in the first quarter against the Panthers' first-team defense, and Kevin's talked about how big of an opportunity this is for the young guys to get out onto the field. So they use it as that. They use it to get the young guys experience in a game. But in terms of true evaluation, I don't know how much they're doing in these preseason games, other than get in there, see some action, identify some things in game that maybe we're not seeing in training camp, and then we'll have additional things to work on and we'll see what you're able to do well and, you know, how you're performing. But I'm not using this as, well, this is what I think of you, and when the lights turn on in a preseason game, that's what I expect to get on my quarterbacks in a regular season game as well. I don't think the Stefanski era, the Stefanski regime of coaches and everything else has ever viewed it that way. Except for maybe DTR, who played multiple preseasons and looked good in those games. And then they finally made a decision on it. But I don't think they're going to do that. So, yes, this is a massive loss for Shador Sanders. A missed opportunity on something that obviously is not in his control, but is going to play the destiny. The same way that it wasn't in the control of Kenny or Dylan, it is now not in the control of Shador Sanders. 216-474-0092. Does Shador's injury end his chance of being QB2 to start the season? You can also get me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You got 3 hours of overtime tonight, which means we are jam-packed. We're going to get to our Daily Browns quarterback rankings coming up at the end of this hour as we continue to talk quarterbacks. Get a Grip comes your way at 9. Immediately followed by Dan Lobby. Cleveland.com joins us at 9:20 every single Wednesday. He's going to help break down joint practices, what Shador's injury means. Looking forward to Saturday. All of the good stuff coming up at 9:20 with Dan. We'll react to the Guardians later on in the show, and they wrap up playing the Marlins over at Progressive Field in game two of a three-game set. And, of course, we'll bring in Michael Marcotte later on in the show for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Does Shador's injury end his chance of being QB2 to start the season? We're going to get to your calls as well. The conspiracy theories take no time to drum themselves up when Shador's involved. That's also coming your way in 5 minutes. Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with you guys until 11 on The Fan. At the end of the day, it's going to be whatever quarterback they feel more comfortable in. And right now, it does feel like that guy at this very moment is Dylan, whether you like it or not. And believe me, I don't necessarily like it, but I just think it's the way that the Browns view it in the current moment. Again, if you guys want to jump in, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. James is in Menor. What's going on, James?
Hi there. Hey, y'all. We need to be truthful with ourselves. Shador was never slated to be the number two quarterback, and you guys have said it yourself. They liked Dylan. That's why they drafted him earlier. And, Shador is just an add-on. The performance that he gave was stellar, but it didn't move the needle, and it won't move the needle. Even the administration had identified that their guy was Dylan.
Yeah, James, and I think that plays into it, but I think where it becomes a problem, and I appreciate the call. Like, again, I don't even necessarily have a, like, if Shador's hurt, Shador's hurt, and if it's the way you view it at this point. I do think, though, at some point when you call this a competition, even if it wasn't a competition between the starters to really earn the job, and this was always going to be Joe or Kenny and whatever guy they wanted to put out there and had proven themselves.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
I mean, what is the point of telling me that draft stock does not matter, and Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry themselves, after draft night, you know, days 1, 2, and 3, came out and told you, oh, where your pick doesn't actually matter. Right? Once you're on the team, you're a guy on the team, and where we drafted you has nothing to do with that. Okay, well, if Shador were to come out and impress you over and over again, which I think in a lot of ways, like, it's hard to argue that Shador has not. Like, I don't think he's looked bad, even if there is, you know, stuff under the hood that they're trying to work on. He's still been impressive. And if he was to, you know, outshine Dylan Gabriel throughout the entirety of the preseason and at multiple points this year during training camp, it's like, okay, then what competition really is there? You just like Dylan more. If that's the case, tell me Shador's got a longer road and he's got to work on that. I don't have a problem if that's the case. Even if Shador looks good, if you tell me, listen, you guys aren't seeing the whole picture and there's a lot to work on with Shador. We like the kid, but there's a lot more to work on than what's, you know, being shown to you with your own two eyes. I can accept that reasoning. I might, you know, be a little skeptical of it, but I can accept it for what it is. What I have a problem with is you telling me that these guys come in on even ground and you're allowing them to play one over the other. And then if it were to actually happen, Shador didn't have a chance, which, again, James, I don't necessarily think that you're wrong. Like, I don't think that, I don't know if Shador really could have moved up at this point. Like, we would have saw the true test following Saturday's game coming up here. If Shador had outplayed Dylan Gabriel and if he still had not moved, that would have answered the question hands down. Like, there was clearly no movement to be made then. Like, if Shador goes out there and outshines Dylan Gabriel in every opportunity he's given, and it doesn't turn into anything, well, then that's just what it is. But I don't see how, if you're looking at this right now, Like, yes, Shador just doesn't really have the opportunity now. You did have to outplay Dylan Gabriel multiple times. And maybe they give him that opportunity in game three. But at that point, I think you're heading into a game against the Rams telling yourself, well, this is what the quarterback room is. Like, we're not going to make any drastic adjustments based on a game that we don't put a ton of stock into anyway. So I think Shador's just kind of, you know, the injury has shot himself in the foot. He obviously not of his own doing, but you get hurt and that's the unfortunate part of it. Now, that being said, we got to tone things down. Like, again, I'm telling you, I can't remember who it was on X. I think it was last night telling me that it was, I could consider myself grand wizardry level in Shador and how much that I liked him. But I still see people going way too hard in the paint for everything that exists. Every single time that I see something from Shador, something's not going Shador's way. And especially this case now in the injury, like, I was already against the conspiracy theories and telling you you were going too hard in the paint. If it's to the point where Shador is getting an oblique injury and we are going, oh, yep, just another conspiracy against Shador Sanders. They're making him act as if he's hurt and they're telling him to go out there and they're pretending they're faking this injury just to make sure he doesn't have a chance to play on Saturday. I mean, seriously, that is get a grip level stuff. That is get yourself into the 9 o'clock segment level stuff. We have to get a grip on this. We have to actually be serious about the way we're viewing this. Yes, you can like Shador Sanders a lot, but not everything that doesn't go his way immediately means conspiracy theory against him. It's just not the case. Like, down to the degree of an injury, I mean, that is next level type of reaching. I can't believe that Twitter had even gone to this level, social media had gone to this level to act as if the Browns are trying this hard to keep him out of playing. Like, the kid got injured. It's unfortunate. It most certainly is. I was really excited to see what he was going to do on Saturday. But if anybody in the Browns front office is out there telling you, well, or is out there actually making the adjustment to be like, all right, let's just say Shador has an oblique injury, right? That's enough to not keep him out for a serious amount of time if it's just an oblique strain. But let's make sure we get Dylan a real opportunity to shine here and make sure that Shador doesn't overtake him. Like, we are plotting way too far in advance here and giving the Browns way too much credit for how much they like one quarterback over the other. I just don't see how these type of conspiracy theories really, anybody feels that there can be any validity to them. Because I don't see the point in doing that if you're the Browns. What is your gain? What is your benefit off of trying to act as if Shador is just injured when he's really not? What is the gain and benefit for Shador Sanders if, this team is intentionally holding me back and trying to quiet the noise on how excited fans are for me, so I'm going to go along with it and fake an injury? At that point, it's just, no chance I'm allowing that to happen as a player. One, you have a legitimate NFLPA type of argument where you can definitely at that point file a grievance if the team's actually trying to do that to you, and you have a legitimate thing there. And also, like, there's just no chance that if I'm a quarterback, with the hype around me that Shador has, yes, he fell to the fifth round, a ton of teams did not want to take him. He displayed enough on Friday that another team would probably just take a stab at him. Even if it's a backup, they would be taking the chance of what on earth they can go and actually he can go play for somebody else. I would take any chance to say, if the Browns want to cut me, by all means, cut me. I was a fifth round pick. I'll go play somewhere else if you're trying to hold me back this much. I mean, we have literal video evidence of Shador Sanders being hurt. I don't know what more we need. I don't know what more there is to it. Other than the guy's banged up. And reality strikes as hard as reality strikes. And we have to sit here and question what on earth is actually going on, why all of these guys manage to keep getting hurt. And we can be frustrated and we can be angered by that. But when it comes to reality, it's just not a thing. Like, I don't see how that's going to be the case. Again, 216-474-0092. Are we really talking conspiracy theory against Shador Sanders again after an injury today? I just don't see how you make the claim. Let's go to the phones. Bob is in Sacramento. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, good evening. I'm calling because, honestly, it's time to stop with the second string, third string quarterback conversation and begin to inform us about what else is going on with the Cleveland Browns. I know nothing about our running game. I don't know how Flacco's playing. I don't know how our first-round draft choice is playing. I don't know what is interesting about this team. A new title.
And I think Bob cut out there. We lost Bob. Oh, there you go. We're back. Bob, you cut out there for a second. Yeah. Go back with
never, it. It never ends. The conversation never ends on Sanders and on Gabriel and who's going to be the backup. It doesn't matter. How's Flacco looking? How is the rookie tight end looking? How's our rookie defensive lineman look? What else is going on? What's our running game going to look like? Is it going to be any good? Can they block this year? I mean, we know nothing about this team other than an endless national debate about Shedeur Sanders and conspiracy theories. Give us some news. Give us something interesting. Because it's just, if I listen to your show, if I listen to the next show after this in the morning, whoever it is, it's the same show all day long. I'd love some information.
I mean, Bob, to some degree, and I appreciate you making the call, when we're talking football, quarterback is the most important position that's out there, and that's the most thing there. Like, okay, if the Browns have a run game, which, by the way, I mean, good luck. Jerome Ford, Dylan Sampson looked okay in the preseason game, but if Quinshon's not going to be playing to start week one, which is a very real possibility, and it should absolutely be the assumption at this point, I don't know how much faith I have in that run game. But, like, okay, defensive line looks great. Guess what? If they can't move the ball up and down the field, they score 15 points a game. Doesn't matter what's interesting with this team, because there is nothing interesting with this team. They can't score and they can't win games. That's the bottom line. That's why quarterback becomes such a conversation throughout this process. And it's like, all right, well, you want to know how Joe Flacco's looking? The same way he's looked for the last 18 years of his career. He looks good. He's going to go out there and be the exact same Joe Flacco that he's been. As long as he's healthy heading into week one, Kevin Stefanski said today, Joe looks like the same that Joe looked like 2 years ago. Congratulations, Joe 2 years ago looked like the exact same Joe Flacco that played 4 years before that, even though he went through a little bit of a tough stretch there. Like, he was still the same quarterback. He took too many risks down the field, turned the ball over too much, but he would move it and he would put points on the board. Like, I think that's why this conversation between the rookie quarterbacks exists, and it's also a conversation of where the Browns are moving in the future. They went into Super Bowl this year. Anybody truly believe that? I don't think there's one out there. So it becomes, do I have a franchise quarterback? Do I not? And that's the thing that drives this team forward. And that is the most important question that we have to ask with this team right now. And Joe at some point probably won't be playing throughout the finale of the season. So yeah, that's the question that I feel like needs to be answered. So it does continue to be a quarterback conversation. I guarantee you this season will continue to be, maybe not right out of the gates, but at some point a quarterback conversation throughout the season. It's the unfortunate part of it. Like, hey, when you don't have a quarterback, you talk a lot of quarterback because it's about the only thing that matters. Until you have that figured out, the defense is going to look great. If my rookie tight end looks great, guess what? My rookie tight end could be wide open on every play. If he's getting sacked in the backfield before the quarterback can get to him, or if the quarterback can't get him the damn ball, I don't care how the rookie tight end looks. He can be as wide open as daylight. If the ball doesn't get to him, it does not matter. Until the Browns have the quarterback position figured out, nothing is really going to matter all that much. The defense can be great. Guess what? The only reason they went through and won 11 games is because Joe stepped in and won a load of games at the back half of the season. It's the only reason that the Browns made the playoffs in 2023. Yeah, defense helped, but the defense didn't matter that much when P.J. Walker was playing quarterback. It was like, great, they look awesome. Guess what? If P.J. goes out there and puts up 14 points this game, we probably don't win because they can only look so good. And at some point last year, that was the case. Like, the defense is out there for 80% of the snaps. Don't care who's out there. Myles Garrett out there getting sacks. Didn't really make a difference. You still won three games. The quarterback conversation has to be there. It doesn't have to be there in conspiracy theories, though. 216-474-0092. Are we really talking conspiracy theory against Shedeur Sanders again? Again, it feels like everybody is reaching at this point, but if you believe it, I'd love to hear it. We'll get to our Daily Browns quarterback rankings as well. What to expect on Saturday. Now moving forward, and what it would mean if Dylan plays well, and what it would mean if he didn't play so hot either. Again, that's all coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys on The Fan. And again, 216-474-0092. Let's go to the phones. Fred's in Cleveland. What's going on, Fred?
How you doing? First off, we're talking about conspiracy theories. The fact is that Browns caused this conspiracy theories, considering that it was supposed to be an open competition. Well, it wasn't an open competition. They stuck Shador behind everybody and didn't give him even the second team reps or any of that. So that's the first thing. So when we talk about him having obliques, of course, you know, that's a problem. But at the same time, when you do stuff like they've been doing, trying to sabotage this kid's career, that's a problem. Just like when they threw him, they didn't give him for any reps at all. And then next thing you know, and don't get me wrong, it's a great opportunity. He had the plate of it last week, and he did well. But at the same time, they come back and they say nothing. They act like he just did nothing. The dude looked good. And you can only play with the people that's in front of you. First thing people say is, well, you know what? He played against the Panthers. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's who they put in front of him. You can only play who they put in front of you. And he did good without any reps with anybody. So I don't understand why we keep trying to pretend that this kid is a fifth-round pick. That's another thing. He's not really a fifth-round pick. We know that there was a conspiracy to make this kid a fifth-round pick. Or later. The Browns just happened to break it up.
Yeah,
he should have been the first or second-round pick. I don't understand that kind of thinking at all.
I mean, Fred, and I agree with you on and some of that stuff, absolutely. I just, like, when it comes to the Panthers game, like, what else were they supposed to do? They had no other quarterback on the roster. They brought in Tyler Huntley on 2 days. Like, they didn't have another choice other than to play him. I don't think it was their choice. Like, it would not have been their first decision to go out there and start Shador had they had the opportunity in front of them. So, like, the first-team reps not lining up with that. Like, you can argue if you want him to get first-team reps. I'm fine with that. But them not lining up, I don't think that's throwing him under the bus. That's just playing the hand that you're dealt, unfortunately.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the fact is that, yes, he should have had first-team reps or second-team reps by this time anyway. So when he was thrown into this, it wouldn't have been like they're throwing him to the wolves. He had that's the cards that were dealt, and that's how what he did. And he made the best of it. But at the same time, he made the best of it. Then everybody made an excuse about why he did good. Oh, he did good because they're the Panthers. Or he did good. But the kid did good because he's good. You know?
Yep.
And I hear people say this also. Well, he was a fifth pick. Well, we all know that he wasn't a fifth pick. He's a fifth pick because that's what happened. That was a conspiracy, if you really want to know. That was a conspiracy. So that kind of stuff really ticks me off because we all know that he wasn't a fifth pick. He shouldn't have been a fifth pick, put it like that. We know that people did that on purpose. Mel Kiper put him as a top 2 to 3 quarterbacks in the country. And then they sit up here and pick Dylan. And that's the other thing. They're trying to hide their face by making sure that Dylan Gabriel, we didn't want to waste our third-round pick. Now we look stupid if we waste our third-round pick.
I mean, I feel like in some way, and Fred, I appreciate the call. I feel like in some way, if you waste either of those picks, you still feel stupid. Like, for fifth or third, but if you figure out the quarterback, nobody cares. Like, I mean, that's the bottom. Like, if Shador Sanders ended up being the quarterback of the future, nobody's going to look at it and be like,
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Andrew Berry, I mean, wasted a third round pick. Like, if Shador just looks good, he'd look good. Like, again, and I don't, like, I can't explain why he fell to the fifth round. I had him as a clear-cut top two quarterback there. I had him as the number one on my big board for the Browns to draft. I thought he was a better fit than Cam Ward, specifically in Cleveland. So, like, I'm all in when it comes to that. Like, I don't know that it's conspiracy theory. I don't know that you can get 32 owners to really fully agree on something like that. But I think there were definitely reasons outside of football and why he would have fallen. Absolutely no clue. No doubt about it. That was not a full football reason. Not in this draft class. Certainly not. Just, I don't know that I can look at it and say the Browns brought conspiracy theories on themselves. They definitely made some wrong decisions explaining how this quarterback battle was going to go. There's no doubt about that. They brought some of the criticism onto themselves. The conspiracy theories, though, like, we look at quarterbacks all the time that don't get this type of run, and people want to see young quarterbacks on several teams. I don't think anybody's drawing conspiracy theories about anybody basically outside of Shador Sanders. Johnny Manziel wasn't starting until, you know, week 12 of the season or whatever it was. I don't think people were really drumming up conspiracy theories in the same light, not in exactly the same way they were drumming them up like they are right now for Shador. That is the almost cult-style following that Shador has that drums those up. It's, again, people seeing that he can do no wrong. Yes, he played really well on Friday. I think the Browns acknowledge the fact that he played well on Friday. I don't think they just pushed that to the side, but not through reps or anything else, because he also showed red flags on Friday, the same ones that we expected when he came out of college. Like, there were some of those as well. So I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. Again, 216-474-0092. Sean is in Akron. What's going on, Sean?
Yeah, just this whole thing with the whole Shador Sanders thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, I don't understand what everyone's expectations are on this season. Like, we're not going to win the division. We're not going to make the playoffs. This season is about answering questions and getting ready for next season. This next draft, we should never draft in the top 10 again for the next decade. That should have been Baker Mayfield's draft, but we went and screwed that up. So, seriously, like, this season's just about answering questions. That whole thing about Fannin earlier, isn't Njoku a free agent after the season? Shouldn't we know if we have a good tight end behind him? The running back room's a mess. But we might have the wide receiver room figured out with Jerry Jeudy and Deontay Johnson. Yeah, Shador Sanders shouldn't start the season. Our first eight games are horrendous. Let him or Dylan Sitt, whoever's the better quarterback after our bye, let him start the second half of the season. Find out if we have our quarterback, and if we don't, this next year's draft class is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they're set up in a really nice way, Sean. I appreciate the call. They are set up, like, obviously, I mean, we've talked about it. The two first-round picks next year set you up in a really good spot. It is an answering question. The problem is part of that question is the rookie quarterbacks that you're trying to answer for. Like, you drafted two of them. You told me part of this is about 2025, too. It's not just coast through 2025 and just then get to 2026. If that was the case, you wouldn't have drafted two quarterbacks. Like, bottom line. You wouldn't have drafted maybe even one quarterback at that rate, but certainly not two. I just don't see how you roll through it and it don't at least value somewhat of 2025. But yeah, like, show me the rookie quarterbacks at some point, whether that's Dylan or Shador. I'd like to see both of them play, in all honesty, unless one of them comes out and wins it and just looks absolutely incredible and is a franchise-level quarterback. But it doesn't really matter to me what order they come out in, as long as whatever guy you show me first, it feels like he was the most ready and the other guy isn't ready. I just, again, the conspiracy theories are probably too far, but let's get one more in on this. Tony's in Richmond Heights. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing pretty good. What do you got, man?
Well, I just wanted to weigh in on the conspiracy talk. I know that sometimes it's hard to believe, but a conspiracy is just an explanation without evidence. And we do, in fact, have evidence if we are acknowledging that in this four-way quarterback competition that was announced by the Browns themselves, if only one person is hurt by missing a game, we've seen Pickett miss a game. We've also seen Gabriel miss a game. But if only Shador is missing, is hurt by missing a game, then that is a fact. That's not a conspiracy. He is actually not being given a fair opportunity if the Browns announced that it was a four-way competition. And finally, I would just say that I recently purchased merchandise from the Browns. The only merchandise that you see for sale really is Shador's merchandise. So there could potentially be a financial incentive behind stringing the fans along. So thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. I appreciate you making it. I mean, I think without a doubt, there was, I mean, I'm not saying they made a draft pick for financial gain. I don't think that's ever the case. I think if you're trying to win football games, you're trying to win football games and you're trying to get the best players on your roster. But he also know taking that pick that there is financial gain to be had there. Like, you obviously know the clear evidence is there that you draft Shador, some jersey sales and everything else are going to follow. It definitely did not slip their mind when they made the pick. But I don't think Shador is the only quarterback hurt by missing a game here. Like, I mean, you can make the argument about Dylan. It doesn't really feel like he was all that impacted, at least not in reps, from missing time. I think if we look at this quarterback battle for what it is, which is rookies against rookies and vets against vets, Browns did not tell you that. Again, I'm never going to back their communication on this battle from start to finish, because that is an absolute flub by them. If it was never going to be the rookies getting an opportunity to start, well, then you probably should have said that, right? Like, if there wasn't real opportunity for them to climb over the veterans, you didn't see it happening, probably should have made that pretty clear that at least, hey, maybe it's a quote unquote four-man competition, but guys 3 and 4 probably aren't going to see the field to start the year. That's on them. They have that ability of in front of them. But I think Kenny was absolutely hurt by missing games here. I think there's a chance you don't see Kenny on the roster week one in a large part of that. He might have just been outplayed by Joe Flacco, but we don't have the answer. He's going to be because he's missed now probably multiple games going into Saturday where he hasn't been able to be on the field, hasn't been able to be at training camp, and isn't going to be able to display what he has. And it truthfully, like, the last thing I say on it before we get to one more call here is the fact that it might not be fair. Reality is just that sometimes I think the NFL is not fair. Like, if I get we don't like that, but like, and nobody at any point had to say this is a fair competition where everybody gets a 25% chance to start week one and will truly go with the best guy. I understand competition is implied by that, and they, if they were running a true four-man competition, that would be the case. But I don't think they necessarily were ever running a fair competition. Again, I think they wanted either Joe or Kenny to start, and they've made that clear in the way that they've handled it. Especially since Kenny got hurt, they've made it very clear that Joe is the guy that they want to start. He's been the one in bubble wrap. He's been the one that they're protecting, not giving as many reps to, but still is the guy out there with the first-team offense. It always felt like it was going to be one of those two guys, and they just didn't say that. All right, real quick here. Ben's in Warrensville. What's going on, Ben? Ben, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you got, man?
Yeah. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, man. I just wanted to make a comment about the Shador Sanders thing. Everybody keeps saying, his playing time and him not, him being fourth string and all of that. I think all of this just have one thing to do with it. Deion Sanders, his father. Remember, he was on the talk show about 3 weeks ago, and they was talking to him and interviewing him, and the host asked him, say, what if your son came into a situation, like what they was talking about with the draft, and he was saying, oh, not my son. He said, I know what goes on behind the scenes and, with the owners and, what's going on. I think everything that's going on, I think is clearly about what Deion Sanders said. And I think the owners and the GMs and everybody, looked at it that way. And that's what's happening to the kid.
But I appreciate you making the call. Let's make sure we just turn down the radio next time. No problem. I appreciate the call. Let's just make sure we crank down the radio when we answer. But, I mean, I think Deion played a part in him falling in the draft. I think that's certainly a possibility. Again, things outside of football, I think Deion plays a part in that. If you never wanted anything to do with it and you were trying to blackball the kid from the league, draft him in the fifth round would have just never happened. And there were definitely teams interested in drafting him. They went up above the Eagles for a reason. I just don't. I think, again, we use things that happened early on to continue to be like, well, the Browns drafted him and still are looking to put him down. I mean, listen, if that's the case, the team should probably not be functioning under Jimmy Haslam at that point. And everybody in this building should be fired. I don't think that we're that incompetent. I don't think that there's that much of a conspiracy going on here. And we've taken it probably much too far. All right. Let's leave that there. When we come on back, we'll get to Get a Grip as well. Dan Lobby coming your way at 9:20. We'll eventually get to Browns quarterback rankings. We'll talk a little Dylan Gabriel. Again, a lot coming up in a packed show right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.